Tonight, as we begin this Feast of Tabernacles, I'd like to depart from tradition a little bit, and I want to delegate the introduction of this sermonette to someone else.
Well, there's nothing to worry about, my little friend. Here all this time, unbeknownst to you, you could play an instrument. That's right. The most beautiful and melodic of all instruments is your very own voice. That's right. And when you sing, you're actually playing an instrument. Just watch me and I'll show you. Sing. Sing a song. Sing out loud. Sing out strong. Sing the good things, not bad. Just follow me. I'll say the words to you, okay? You go sing, sing a song.
That's the first special music of the feast. Apologies for the poor quality of the old video. That was from the 1980s. And you might have recognized Ambassador College there. And that was Big Beak. And he was a big, yellow, fluffy, sharp-voiced bird. And he was featured for a couple of years in the Feast of Tabernacles entertainment in worldwide. That Big Beak's off-key rendition of the song called Sing was turned into a huge hit in 1972 by the Carpenters. And despite the intentionally humorous shortcomings of Big Beak's version, the words of the song contain a significant message for the members of God's church, and especially at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we got a real smorgasbord of speakers at the feast this year, of message subjects, and also for the music and song during the feast as well. So this evening then, on the opening night of the Feast of Tabernacles 2020, although our congregation is so tiny, in this sermonette I'd like to encourage you and myself as well to put our whole hearts into our hymn singing, again, especially throughout the feast, but also at every church service throughout the year. What I'd like to do in the next 20 minutes or so, I'd like to go through some of the lyrics to Big Beak's song, line by line, and examine what is being said there. So the first word is sing, sing. And as we're going to see, God's word agrees wholeheartedly with this encouragement for God's people to sing. And God's holy written word has lots to say about singing. Next question is, what should we sing? answer is right there. Sing a song. Sing a song. What else can you sing but a song? What kind of song does God want his people to sing, and specifically at church services? Loads of different musical styles available these days, and some of them we should probably stay away from, but that's a matter of taste, I suppose. But here's what God tells us through the Apostle Paul. Please turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll just clip off the end of verse 18 there. Ephesians chapter 5 and the end of verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, it's fine to enjoy, for all of us to enjoy our own appropriate musical preferences throughout the week. But at church services, God wants us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now he says, the Apostle Paul there says, speaking to yourselves. He doesn't want all of us to be walking around talking to ourselves. But rendered in the RSV as addressing one another. And this implies that there's some benefit of hymn singing to the actual singers, as well as being a pleasant gift or an offering to the intended recipients of our singing. And of course that is God the Father and Jesus. And Jesus promised us that if there's two or three of us gathering together, they're going to be here. So when we sing our hymns, let's remember that. Okay, what is a hymn and what is a psalm? Let's go to the dictionary for this. A hymn is a song of praise, adoration, and thanksgiving. Okay? An English word comes from the Greek, hymnos, and it means a song or an ode. And the word hymnos, interestingly enough, the word hymnos stems from an older Greek word, houdeo, which means celebrate, and that's so appropriate for God's holy days. The word psalm comes from the Greek psalmos, which means to strike or to twang a harp. Okay. Going back to the Old Testament, we can go back to Psalm 95 right now. Psalm 95. In the Hebrew, there's actually four different Hebrew words for psalm. I'll read them to you. They're kind of similar. They've all got a Z in them. Mizmar, Zimra, Zamar, and Zamir. And they can mean, all of them mean basically the same thing. Melody, music, song, praise, make music, and play a musical instrument. And in our special music during this feast, we've got vocal music, we've got some choral music, and we've got some instrumental music as well. Okay, Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Remember that. Make a joyful noise. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. Okay, we've come together to the feast. There's more than two or three of us together. Jesus is here with us in spirit. And so, when we sing our hymns, let's make a joyful noise. A psalm, then, is a song of praise. It's usually accompanied by musical instruments, but not always. A couple of years ago, Trish and I had the opportunity to go down to Zambia, in Africa there. And the brethren there sang their hymns. They didn't have, you know, backing like we've got. They sang a cappella, you know, without accompaniment. But those African brethren, they have these unique African harmonies, and it was like they were accompanying one another as they sang. It's astonishing. And those Zambian brethren can really, really sing. Many of the hymns that we use in our weekly Sabbath services are from the Book of Psalms. Most of the hymnals that we use. Not all of the Psalms were composed by David. I used to think they were, but they're not. There's actually a few that were written by Moses, and there's quite a few more that were written by a man by the name of Asaph, who was a high-ranking Levite, and he was the number one temple musician. I mentioned the hymnals. We've all got our favourite hymnals, okay? We've got the CGI one, we've got the United one, and my favourite is the old standard Bible hymnal from the Worldwide Church of God. It's a personal thing. We'll use this one at the feast this year, except for one day we're going to have a United Church of God hymn day. I'm not sure which day that will be yet, we'll see. But in that hymnal, virtually all of the hymns in there were composed from the Psalms, and there's a few of them that were gleaned from, such as America, the Beautiful, God Speaks to Us, carefully chosen from the vast repertoire, with the primary criterion being that the lyrics must strictly agree with God's word. That's Worldwide did actually have an older grey hymnal. I've seen copies of it. I don't have a copy of it. And Herbert Armstrong nixed it in the early 70s because some of them were, you know, they were old Protestant hymns, and some of them weren't directly in line with God's word, so he took them out. Anyway, let's move on with another question here from our song. When we're singing our hymns, how should we sing? Again, Big Bird told us, sing out loud. Sing out loud. It says, we should all be really singing out loud at our weekly Sabbath services, twice as loud on God's holy days. Let's see that first picture there. There he is. Not very happy, is he? No. This is a song leader's eye view of how some hymn singers look, okay? Does this look like praise, adoration, or thanksgiving? What do God's people have to be ashamed of? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why should we hang our heads and look glum during the hymn singing portion of the church services? Okay, how else should God's people sing? Sing out strong, said. Sing out loud, sing out strong. Is hymn singing just for wimps or sissies or weaklings? Excuse me. I can best answer that question with two plain statements. Number one, I prefer to believe that there are no wimps or sissies or weaklings in God's true church. And second, the hymns in our church hymnals are not wimpy or over-emotional songs. The hymns that we've been given were written for brave men, brave women, and brave children by brave men and brave women too. And if you think about it, a brave child in David. David, when he was just a mere boy, during the period when he wrote some of his psalms, went out there and he did battle with a lion and a bear and a giant. So certainly David was no wimp. He was no sissy, and he was no weakling. Well, why should we sing out strong? Okay, we're still in Psalm 95 there. Let's look at verse 3. In the New King James Version, it reads, "For the Lord, Yahweh, is the great God, and the great King above all gods." So the Eternal is the great supreme God and King, not forgetting God the Father, of course. And the Bible is replete with many other reasons why we should sing out strongly and fearlessly to them. Now, also associated with this point from Big Beak's song is the next one. What should we sing about? What should we sing about? Big Beak told us, sing of good things, not bad. So we need to think about the words of the hymns while we're singing them. They're inspiring words, they're encouraging and strengthening words. Every Passover night we recall that hymn singing was one of the very last things that Jesus did before going off to his agony, torture and death. I'll just read the scripture that we read every Passover night, Mark chapter 14, verse 26. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." We don't know the words of the hymn that Jesus and the disciples sang that night, but we can be sure that it would have been one chosen by Jesus to help give them all additional courage. And for the same reason, Paul and Silas sang hymns when they were incarcerated in a Philippian prison. After they'd just been flogged, they sang. Let's go take a look at that. Acts chapter 16, please. Acts chapter 16. And verse 23. Acts 16, 23. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," upon Paul and Silas, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Well, Paul and Silas, you can imagine them in this filthy dungeon. They were not just nervously humming, nor were they just whistling a happy tune because they were afraid. No, just like Jesus facing his great physical trial, they too needed inspiration and courage and vision at that time. In addition to the fact that Paul and Silas were facing possible execution, again, the inner prison cell in that Macedonian dungeon was likely a very unpleasant place to be. So once again, when we're singing our hymns to God, let's really think about and sincerely mean the words that are coming out of our mouths. Because if we don't, if you think about it, if we don't, our hymn singing could become no better than the vain repetitions that were denounced by Jesus. Okay, what else should we sing about? Big Bird told us, sing of happy, not sad. Now, okay, there is a right time for songs of lamentation, we know that. And our hymnals do have hymns covering that requirement. But again, God's word agrees with the concept of his people, for the most part, singing about happy things. Let's just one verse over in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse 13. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." So through the Apostle James, God is telling us here, and I'll borrow the words from another children's song, if we're happy and we know it, no, not to clap our hands, but to sing. That's what we're commanded to do, to sing psalms and hymns of praise and thanksgiving to God. And again, the words to virtually all of the hymns in our Church of God hymnals look forward to the kingdom of God, which we're picturing for this coming week. And what could be happier than that? Isn't the wonderful world tomorrow worth singing out for? Of course it is. Look back in history, you find that before the Protestant Reformation, only the Roman Catholic priests and choirs were permitted to sing at their church services. And even then, you really wouldn't want to join in. I don't know whether you've heard, you can buy albums of plain chant, it's called. It's like listening to a dirge, you know, going on. And some people like that music, I don't know why. But, so that's all that they could sing. But God's people today, we should be happy, we should be very thankful that we enjoy the liberty to be able to join in and sing. And the Bible encourages to sing these hymns that are fine, inspiring words and melodies. Okay, what if you don't have much of a singing voice? What if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, as some people say? Big Bird tells us, don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. And again, Jesus Christ and God the Father, they know each and every one of us personally and individually. And they understand very well that they have not blessed all of us with magnificent singing voices. So look at what he told us, twice for emphasis, and you don't have to go back there, but we read it in Psalm 95. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. The New King James Version, shout joyfully. Shout joyfully. A couple of years ago, a long time ago, back in the 80s, when Trish and I lived in Ottawa, I sang in the local church choir there. And one of the guys in the choir, I think he was a tenor, I'm not sure, but he didn't have a good voice. Putting it mildly, he didn't have a good voice, but he was chosen as a choir member, not for his voice, but for his enthusiasm, for his wonderful, infectious enthusiasm. He almost jumped out at the audience, you know, whoever was listening there. And he exuded this glad and willing obedience to this command by God in Psalm 95. So again, something for us all to remember. Double command there. Make a joyful noise. So we need to be less concerned about what our fellow human beings think of our singing, and to be more concerned about what God thinks, about what God the Father and Jesus think. And you think that what our singing in hymns and our praise to God the Father and Jesus, they are offerings. They're a form of offering to God. And so God looks on the heart. He's looking at our hearts, he's looking at the spirit and the effort behind these musical offerings, which is what they are. Going back to the time of the tabernacle and temple worship, hymn singing was an integral part of the offering ceremonies. And if our hymn singing is an offering, what is the quality of that offering? And again, it doesn't matter if we're not gifted musically or anything like. Is our offering like Abel's offering, which was gladly accepted and appreciated by the Lord? Hopefully, it's not like Cain's offering, inferior offering. Another thing to remember, without going to the scripture right now, but remember Jesus' parable of the widow's mite. Widows, because God is more interested in the attitude and the effort that we put into our offerings rather than in any natural talent that we might have to give those musical offerings. So when you're singing out loud, when you're making a joyful noise, don't ever be embarrassed if, you know, in a larger congregation, if somebody turns around and looks at you, you know, your gusto, your enthusiasm might inspire that person to join in and to sing out loud and to make a joyful noise. And the other thing is, we're all together, we're all unified by God's Holy Spirit. We don't have to be embarrassed in each other's company. We have love for one another. And all of us should be singing to Jesus and the Father with all of our hearts. Let's have a look at that second picture there. Zane, please. Where is he? There's the man. That's what you want to see? Okay. That's much better, isn't it? Okay. So, in conclusion, Big Bird tells us, just sing. Sing a song. And here's a wonderful promise from Jesus. Matthew chapter 18. And I've told you this already, but don't have to take my word for it. It's right here in God's word. Matthew 18. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we ought to be inspired to sing out. We ought to be inspired by Jesus' presence, inspired by the words and the melodies of the hymns, inspired by the blessing of the opportunity to be together with one another. To be together with one another. So throughout this Feast of Tabernacles, brethren, the last great day, and every weekly Sabbath service throughout the year, let's put our whole hearts into our hymn singing. Brethren, let's raise the chorus. Let's make a joyful noise. Let's sing.